I'm not pulling out of the driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another Drive to Work, Coronavirus Edition. Okay, today is a weird topic because I like doing weird topics from time to time. Today's topic is magic cards that start with the letter X. Okay, so first question, a little trivia question for you. How many cards in Magic start with the letter X? Okay, give you a second to guess. And the answer is 18. 18. That's a lot. That's a lot of cards. So today I'm going to talk all about the various cards that start with the letter X. So our first card has the name. I'm going alphabetically, by the way. So the first card is X. So this is, other than the card that has no name from Unhinged, this is the card with the shortest name. I think it's the only card with one letter as its name. So X is, costs blue and a black. It's a legendary creature, human spy. It's from Unstable. As long as X is in X owner's opponent's hand, X's owner may cast X and activate X's abilities. That opponent can't cast X and plays with their hand revealed. Blue, black, tap, put X into target opponent's hand. Three blue, black, you may play a land or cast a spell from the hand X is in. If you cast a spell this way, you cast it without paying its mana cost. 2/2. Okay, so the idea was there were five factions in Unstable, and one of them were the spies, the spy faction. And I just loved the idea of making sort of my master spy. And anyway, I was just looking for what is the most invasive spy? And I'm like, what if it hit out in your opponent's hand? And I'm like, what would that mean? Like, that's what, sometimes I just have like germs of ideas. And this card started out of, what if this card went into your opponent's hand? Now in normal Magic, sort of, you know, not unsets, you can't put your cards in your opponent's hand. So this was prime un-territory. And then I'm like, okay, well, what if he's a spy? What if the spy is spying on you? And so the idea is that he goes in your opponent's hand and then he can start casting spells out of it. And then there's a bunch of like technical to make it work. Like the idea behind the card was, okay, he's a spy. He sneaks and goes into your opponent's hand. And then you can, now that he's, you know, infiltrated your opponent's hand, you can cast spells out of it. That was the idea. There were a lot of words that were required to do this. Like one of the problems early on is we didn't say that your opponent couldn't cast it. So if they had blue and black mana, the way to get rid of it was they would just cast it. Now they had control of it once they cast it. It's like, okay, the goal isn't for your opponent to play it. And so we fiddled a lot with sort of the thing. And I like where it ended up. It's kind of cute. It's in blue, black, A, because this is the colors that would do this, and B, this is the spy faction was in blue, black. And then we were trying to give it a name. We decided we would riff off, like, in James Bond, like, there's M and there's Q. We love the idea of, like, spies having letters for their names. And so X, I don't know, X just felt, like, very spy-like. I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it now just because I had flavor text for this card that I was really proud of. And it just didn't fit because it was too long. But the flavor text was going to be X spot the mark. Cause in spy lingo, the person you're taking advantage of is the mark, and so he spots him. Anyway, I thought that was very clever flavor text. It just didn't fit. We tried. There was a lot of text to make this fit. This is one of the cards I get a lot of questions about. Just cause it's a pretty weird card, and so I get a lot of people sort of implying or asking about it. But it's a fun card. It's legendary, so it can be a commander. And I know people have built some very weird decks around it, which is what I hope for with uncards. Okay, next is, I think, the most recent card starting with X. Xanathar, Guild Kingpin. That's hard to say. 4 blue, black, legendary creature, beholder. He's a 5/6. Oh, by the way, did I mention that X was a 2/2? Hopefully I mentioned that. Anyway, Xanathar is a 5/6. At beginning of your upkeep, choose target opponent. Until end of turn, that player can't cast spells. You may look at the top card of their library anytime. You may play the top card of their library, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast spells this way. So far, the theme of X cards, starting with X, is they mess with your opponent's cards and can play them. That does run through all 18 cards. So Xanathar is a crime lord in the Thieves Guildport in Skullport. He's from Dungeons & Dragons. He's probably the best known, like, named Beholder. Obviously, we knew we were doing Dungeons & Dragons. We wanted to do Beholders. They're very iconic to Dungeons & Dragons. And Xanathar, there's a book with Xanathar's name on it. And so, very high profile. It's kind of like Monster Manual. It's called Xanathar's Guide to Everything. So, it just has a lot of references and things and monsters and this and that. And anyway, because his name's on a book and the book's pretty popular, like he was one of the best-known characters in D&D. And so, okay, of course we need to do this. I actually did an article where I ran through all the different... Like, Xanathar didn't start in that slot. They had him do a different thing, but then a different card, another slot, made more sense for Xanathar. I think he started as mono black, but then they realized they had this cool blue-black ability, and so they mixed things around. But he ended up with a cool ability, and it's a pretty cool card. Also, so far, both our starts with X cards are legendary, but that is also not a theme that will carry through. But Xanathar, definitely a fun card. Okay, next is Xantia, Sleeper Agent. 1 black red, 5/5, a legendary creature minion. As Xantia Sleeper Agent enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice gains control of it. Xantia attacks each combat if able and can't attack its owner or planeswalker its owner's control. 3: Xantia's controller loses 2 life and you draw a card. Any player may activate this ability. Okay, so Xantia was one of the main characters, if not the main character, way back in Urza Saga. There was a book, I think, where Xantia was the main character. She befriended Urza, and I believe that... did she give Urza her spark? I'm trying to remember how that all played out. Anyway, she was a Phyrexian agent who came to realize, and, you know, she did the right thing. Xantia... I think... Does Karn? Somebody gets Xantia Spark. Maybe Karn gets Xantia Spark. I think Karn does get Xantia Spark. Anyway, she's a Phyrexian agent who sort of comes to realize, you know, her own humanity. We did make a card back in Urza Saga called Sleeper Agent, where you gave it to your opponent, and it was representing the kind of card that Xantia was. But what often happened back in the day, and it happens now sometimes, is the book for the set was written after we were done with the set. And so while we had made a Sleeper Agent card, we didn't know Xantia as a character was going to exist. It got written after we made the set. So we didn't have the opportunity to make Xantia. But she was a major character, played a big role. And so we had a lot of outcry from, you know, from fans like, oh, we need a Xantia, we need a Xantia. So finally, in Commander 2018, we made a Xantia. You'll notice that this card is really playing into the Sleeper Agent flavor, and it's mimicking what Sleeper Agent did. Sleeper Agent, you gave it to your opponent. Let me read you the text to Sleeper Agent. So Sleeper Agent was from Urza Saga. When Sleeper Agent enters the battlefield, target opponent gains control of it. At the beginning of your upkeep, Sleeper Agent deals 2 damage to you. So the idea is it's a 1-mana 3/3. But you give it to your opponent, but they lose 2 life every turn. So the idea is they get it, it's a Sleeper Agent, but maybe it can help you because they're losing 2 life every turn. So Xantia was a play off that. She was a little bit bigger, but 3-mana for 5/5. Same thing, you're giving it to your opponent. So that shtick for the Sleeper Agent there. And then the thing that's sort of cool about it, and this was designed obviously for a Commander product, is she has to attack every turn, but she doesn't attack you. She can't attack her owner. And she can't attack your planeswalker. So, like, sort of your stuff's off limits, but she can attack other things. And then, to sort of tie into the life loss thing from Sleeper Agent, people can pay mana, 3-mana, to make her lose life. But the controller does get a card, and so there's a cost for making them lose life. So I thought that was kind of cool. Okay, next is Xanthic Statue. So Xanthic Statue is one of the older X cards, not the oldest, we'll get to the oldest, from Weatherlight. So Xanthic Statue is an artifact that costs 8, 5, activate ability for 5 generic mana. Until end of turn, Xanthic Statue becomes an 8/8 golem artifact creature with trample. So this is one of the earlier, it wasn't the first one, but the idea is it's a statue that can come to life. You know, it is... I think the idea was, so this was in Weatherlight. So Weatherlight had a graveyard component. So this wasn't really tying into the main theme. I think we're just trying to make a statue that could come to life and attack. And the idea is, okay, it's an 8 mana for an 8/8, but it has an upkeep of 5, basically, to be the 8/8. And that's fun flavor text. So flavor text is, until you've lived as a statue, do not talk to me of pigeons, Karn Silvergolem. So Weatherlight was the premiere of the Weatherlight saga story. In fact, we were going to start in Tempest. When we pitched the story, it started in Tempest. But they were so excited to get going, they decided they were going to do the sort of a preamble in Weatherlight, and we scrambled to do that. And one of the things we tried to do was get all the characters in the flavor text so you could start to meet, because the characters weren't on, some of them appeared in the art, because we were able to affect the art. But we were trying to figure out, so we did a lot of flavor text where we would reference things. So like I was the one that wrote Karn. So my guess is I wrote this, because early on the way we did it is each character had a writer that wrote their flavor text. And so I wrote Karn Urtai. So there's a very good chance I wrote this flavor text. Okay, next up, Xanted Swarm. So this is from Scourge. So Xanted Swarm is green for 0/1 insect. It's a creature. Flying. Whenever Xanted Swarm attacks, defending player can't cast spells this turn. This is a weird card. In some ways, I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, green has insects. Green is an insect. But, like, green is not very good at flying, although, once again, it's a 0/1, so it's not really flying for offense. And then it stops them from casting spells? Like, this is an odd... That's not really a green thing. I think blue and white, I mean, white is a little more of the proactive, you can't cast spells, and blue tends to counter spells. Neither of which is green. So this is a weird card. It was in Scourge. This was Brian Tinsman's set. I'm not sure what kind of purpose it was filling. Obviously, they wanted to capture the sort of the swarm, and so they made it insects. I'm not really sure where this came from. This is not... I don't know. This is a weird card. Like I said, I was not on the team that made this card, so I do not know the origin. It is a quirky card. Okay, next up is Xanthrid Demon. This is from Magic 2010. 3 black, 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 creature demon, flying trample. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a creature other than Xanthrid Demon. Then each opponent loses life equal to the sacrificed creature's power. If you can't sacrifice a creature, tap Xanthrid Demon and you lose 7 life, 7/7. Okay, so if you haven't listened to it, recently I did a podcast with Aaron Forsyth talking about the making of Magic 2010. One of the things we talked about in that is, for the first time ever, we made new cards, and this was a new card in Magic 2010. And resonance was the important thing in Magic 2010. And so I think the idea, this card was like, okay, we want to make a demon. You're making a deal with the devil. And so the idea was, I think the idea behind this is, okay, for 5 mana or 6 mana, you get a 7/7 creature, flying trample creature, and you're going to make your opponent lose life every turn. Now, the trade-off for that is you got to feed this demon. Now, the bigger you feed it, the more damage it does to your opponent. So it's kind of encouraging you to sacrifice bigger creatures. You could sacrifice smaller creatures, but, you know, there's sort of a balance there. And then the idea is you don't, he's going to attack you. That's what tapping him and doing you losing 7 life, which is kind of an old school way of doing that. Some early creatures in Magic would tap when that upkeeps and you didn't pay them. They would attack you, sort of the flavor. But anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Now Xanthrid shows up some other places. So it's obviously referencing some other things. So let's track that down. So let's look at the next Xanthrid Gorgon from Magic 2013. So Xanthrid Gorgon costs 5 and a black, 3/6. It's a Gorgon, like a Medusa. It's a creature, obviously. It's got Death Touch. 2 and a black, tap, put a petrification counter on target creature. It gains defender and becomes a colorless artifact in addition to its other types. Its activated abilities can't be activated. It's a 3/6. So this is really just trying to play up, okay, so, like, obviously a Gorgon has a stone gaze that if you look at it, you turn to stone. I will note, by the way, in Magic, our Gorgons turn on, like, Medusa, I believe, in original Greek mythology, just if she looked at you, turn to stone. She couldn't turn it off. It was a punishment. They were torturing her, basically. the gods can be so cruel. But the, she didn't really deserve it, by the way, if you know the story. Anyway, well, okay, I don't get into in our version, in Magic's version of Gorgons, they can turn on and off. Like Vraska, you know, can turn on and off. They turn things to stone when they want to. It's a conscious decision. But I'm sort of curious, what is Zathrid from? Here, I'm going to look up what Zathrid is from. This is something I cannot do when I'm in my car. I cannot search for things. Oh, it's from Chandelar. Let's see, what is Chandelar? It's a major, Zathrid is a major demon worshipped or followed by many people and creatures on Chandelar. Oh, so Chandelar was the setting of the original Microsoft game that we made way back when, and it is served as a setting for a lot of core sets. So that's what Zathrid is. So, okay, and there's one more Zathrid Necromancer. This is from Core Set 2014. So all the Zathrids are from the Core Sets because that's where we tend to do Chandelar. Okay, so Zathrid Necromancer, a creature, 2 and a black, 2/2, human wizard. When Zathrid Necromancer or another human creature you control dies, create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature token. So obviously, we like to make flavor. The new cards in the Core Sets are super resonant. This was a Necromancer. So what does a Necromancer do? Well, takes dead things and turns them into zombies. So whenever a human dies, I guess this just. The other interesting thing is the Zathrid Necromancer. If he dies, you also get to choose a zombie. So you get a zombie. Even he'll come back as a zombie. So that's kind of cool. Oh, there's one more Zathrid. There were four Zathrids. So Zathrid Skyblade from Magic 2015. So it's interesting. Real quickly, Zathrid Demon was in 2010. And then we did a bunch of Zathrids. So 2013 was the Gorgon. 2014 was the Necromancer. 2015 was the Skyblade. So Zathrid Skyblade, a creature again, 2 and a black, 2/1, human assassin, hexproof, so you can't target it. Creature can't be targeted spells, abilities your opponent controls. 3 and black. Until end of turn, Zathrid Skyblade loses hexproof and gains first strike and death touch. So the idea is that she can't be targeted because she's an assassin, so it's harder to get her because you can't find her. And then, but if she steps out of the shadows because she can hide in the shadows, she loses her hexproof, so now you can get her, but then she gets first strike and death touch. So she's an assassin that hides in the shadows that you can't find, but when she steps out to assassinate somebody, then she becomes vulnerable. So these are all top dogs. Oh, by the way, this card was designed by Rob Pardo. So Rob Pardo is a game designer. And this was in Magic 2015. We did this thing where we asked game designers to design Magic cards. So we went and found different game designers. And I think Rob Pardo, I think at the time, might have worked at Blizzard. Anyway, he's one of the people that participated, and he designed this card. And we don't normally put Hexproof onto black cards. Hexproof normally is in primary in green and blue. We do it a little bit in white. We don't normally do it in black. But the flavor of this was so good. It was such a flavorful thing. Like, okay. We definitely let the Magic 2015 designers have a little bit more flexibility. We did more bends than normal because they were sort of making cool flavorful cards. And this card is a super flavorful card. Okay, next. Xenagos, God of Revels. Okay, so so basically what happened is, let's see, there's Xenagos the Reveler, there's Xenagos God of Revels. Is there another Xenagos? That's an interesting question. Let me check real quick. Is there another Xenagos? Yes, no, there's Fnatic. So I guess Xenagos, you heard about Xenagos. I believe, is that Xenagos, what is the God of Revels? Did he show up in the first set? I think he showed up in the second set, right? Yeah, he showed up Born of the Gods. Okay, so what happened was, in the story of Theros, we meet Xenagos. Xenagos is a planeswalker. So we met him first. Great. We meet him in Theros as a planeswalker. He's Xenagos the Reveler. I'll get to in a second. And then he achieves godhood. So in the second set, he becomes Xenagos, God of Revels. He becomes there's a vacancy in the red-green god. And so he becomes the red-green god. And so we did this cool thing, which we had never done before. The first set, he's a planeswalker, and then he becomes another creature type, which becomes a god, a legendary enchantment creature god, because all of them are. So we had done, like, I'm a creature, I become a planeswalker, but we had never gone planeswalker become something else. Okay, I'm going to go, I'm going in alphabetical order. I'm going to do Xenagos the Reveler first, since these two cards kind of go together. So Xenagos the Reveler was from Theros. 2 red-green, legendary planeswalker Xenagos, loyalty of 3, plus 1, add X mana in any combination of red and or green, where X is the number of creatures you control. 0, create a 2/2 red and green satyr creature, token with haste. And minus 6, exile the top 7 cards of your library. You may put any number of creature and or land cards from among them onto the battlefield. So Xenagos was sort of, he's the leader. He is a satyr and the leader of the satyrs. And he was really into sort of having a good time and, you know, definitely... very sort of, what's the word I want? Hedonistic and just out to have a good time. And so we made the satyrs went in red and green, and we really made him a fun character. And he was, we decided to make him very creature centric, right? Like he likes a party, so he can make mana, but you know, he needs a lot of creatures to do that, and he can make creatures. And you know, his big ultimate is you can get more creatures. So he really is a creature focused red green planeswalker. Okay. So what happens is, he figures out that there is a vacancy that the red green god who had disappeared. We later learn in Theros Beyond Death what happened to the red green in the underworld. But anyway, so he through machinations figures out how to sort of rise to godhood, and he becomes the red green god. So in Born of the Gods, we have Xenagos, god of revels. 3 red green, legendary enchantment creature god, indestructible. As long as your devotion to red and green is less than 7, Xenagos isn't a creature. At the beginning of combat in your turn, another target creature you control gains haste and gets +X/+X. It'll end of turn where X is that creature's power. So basically the idea is, the way all the gods work is until you have a certain number of devotion, and I think it is 7 for the multicolored creatures and 5 for the monocolored creatures, because the multicolored, like, Xenagos counts both red and green creatures. So again, much like his, he cares about having creatures in his planeswalker form, he also very much cares in this form, because devotion sort of pushes in that direction. And then he has an ability that really helps creatures, right? So the idea is he gives haste to something, so he can make something be able to attack the turn you play it. And then he gives them +X/+X, so he's doubling their power. So as a fan of doubling, a big thumbs up for Xenagos, god of revels. And he was a 6/5, if I didn't mention that, when he becomes a creature. And by the way, he's a legendary enchantment creature because god, because that's what the gods, we're mimicking how the gods were made. And the reason, by the way, the first set had the monocolor, cycle of monocolor gods. The second set had the ally color gods, and the third set had the enemy color gods. So we had to make sure the story worked. It turned out the story worked well for him to be in the first set and be a god in the second set. It matched what the story was up to. Okay, next up is Xenic Poltergeist from Antiquity. So Xenic Poltergeist is the first card that, in fact, I think at the time there was a card of every letter, but I think X and Q, I think? And Q wouldn't happen until Quorum Trench Gnomes and Legends, the next set. But Xenic Poltergeist X was one of the ones that hadn't happened yet. I might be missing, there might have been one like J or something might not have happened to Antiquities. Anyway, Xenic Poltergeist, 1 black, it's a creature spirit, 1/1, tap. Until your next turn, target non-creature artifact becomes an artifact creature with power and toughness each equal to its mana value. That's a really cute ability. The idea essentially is it can sort of animate artifacts. I love this card. I played so much with this card. We later realized that really animating artifacts like Alpha does it in blue really is a blue ability. This was in a set all about artifacts, so there was a lot of sort of interacting with artifacts, and this was a relatively new ability. But we later said, okay, this is a cool ability, but really blue is the one that animates artifacts, not black. So we stopped doing this effect in black, although it's a super cool card. Okay, next, Xenograph from New Phyrexia. 4 and a blue, it's an enchantment. As Xenograph enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Each creature you control is a chosen type in addition to its other types. I think what happens, we made a card called Conspiracy. When was Conspiracy made? Conspiracy was in Mercadian Masks. We made a card in Mercadian Masks that basically did what this did, although... this only affects creatures you control. So it has to be creatures on the battlefield where conspiracy affected creatures in all zones. But really, once again, they've put in black. Black's not really the one that changes creature types. That really is a blue thing. So we've been talking about, oh, this is a cool card. Let's make this card. And we tweaked it a little bit, but we finally put it in blue. Because that, once again, that is apparently black. One of the themes of X cards in black is it does things that blue should do. Okay, next up is, I think it's Zhao Dun, the One-Eyed. So this is from Portal Through Kingdoms. Two black. I hope I didn't mispronounce it. A legendary creature, human soldier, 3/2. It's got horsemanship, which is basically what flying was in Portal Through Kingdoms. By the way, I did a podcast with Henry Stern all about the making of Portal Through Kingdoms. So if you want to learn more about like, how horsemanship happened, you can go listen to that. Anyway, sacrifice Zhao Dun, the One-Eyed return. I apologize if I'm mangling his name. Return target black cards from your graveyard to your hand. Activate only during your turn before attackers are declared. So the idea is you can, it's a 3/2, essentially a flyer, that you can sacrifice it to get back a black card from your graveyard. So this allowed you to sort of get back something, you know. And once again, there were not, there were sorceries in Portal Through Kingdom, but there were not a lot of sacrifice effects. There were a few. And I think most of them were in black, I believe. Okay, next, Zira Arian. X-I-R-A. This is from Legend. So she was the second ever creature starting with X. The first was Zenith Poltergeist. Black, red, green. She's an insect wizard. A legendary creature, insect wizard. Although, in her first, when she was originally published, she was just Summon Legend. But anyway, so black, red, green tap. Target player draws a card. Her original printed card, by the way, said target player draws one card. But in Oracle now, it's target player draws a card. Anyway, she was... So Legends was the first set that introduced legendary creatures, introduced multicolored creatures. I think all the legendary creatures were multicolored. She was one of the more popular ones, only because, you know, it was a card drawing engine. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of cards you tapped to draw you cards. There was an artifact that did it. Jamie Tome did it in Alpha. But this was the first, creature that tapped to draw you a card. And she looked cool. She's kind of this insect creature. When we first introduced Legends, they were just creature type Legend. Legend wasn't even a super type, it was a creature type. And they didn't have any yet. So when it first printed, she was just Legend. She had no other creature types. But we later went back on the Grand Creature update, and she became an insect wizard to match her flavor. Okay, next, Zorn. Another recent card. This is from Adventures in Forgotten Realms. Zorn is 2 and a red. It's an elemental creature, 3/2. If you would create one or more treasure tokens, instead create those tokens plus some additional treasure tokens. So it increases all your treasure tokens. I think he's an elemental made out of treasure is the flavor of him. There was a treasure sub-theme that ran through it, and so I think treasure theme was in two different archetypes, and red was the center of them. So this was made... it's a rare card. So it was definitely... I think it was made more for Constructed. Obviously, it was rare than Limited, but it showed up in Limited some of the time. Okay, two more cards, and then we are done. Okay, next, Zun Yu, Wei Advisor. Once again, I hope I pronounced that correctly. This is another card from Portal Through Kingdoms. 1BB, 1/1, Human Advisor. So the way it was originally written said, on your turn, before you attack, you may tap Zun Yu to give one of your creatures +2/+0 until end of turn. Now it is a tap ability because, in Oracle, but there were no tap symbols, I believe, in Portal Three Kingdoms. So we just would say on your turn, like we would tell you to tap it. There was no symbol for tapping. And all of them, I think, were triggered abilities that happened. You declared before you attacked. So like the Oracle text now says tap, but activate only during your turn before attackers are declared. But anyway, the idea is right before you attack, you can make one of your creatures bigger, can make himself bigger. But he's a little 1/1, so he was better used on other creatures. Because he's an advisor, see? He helped people attack better, but he himself wasn't really good. Okay, the final X card is Xeris, the Writhing Storm. This is from Commander 2020. It's a 3/5. Legendary creature, Snake Leviathan. It costs 2 green, blue, red. So three colors, green, blue, and red, but 5 mana. Flying. Whenever an opponent draws a card, except the first one they draw in each of their draw steps, create a 1/1 green snake creature token. Whenever Xeris the Writhing Storm deals combat damage to a player, you and that player each draw that many cards. So two abilities, basically. One ability is that it makes... you and the player you hit draw cards equal to the power. So if you attack and you don't pump Xeris, you know, you'll draw three and your opponent will draw three. But every time they draw a card beyond the first card, you get a one green snake. So, for example, on your turn, if you hit them, you'll get two snakes because it's their turn, they haven't yet drawn a card. So they'll draw three cards, but then you get two snakes. And I think this was made, this was made for a commander. So it's obviously made to be a fun build-around card, which it is. Anyway, that, my friends, is all 18X cards. I believe I didn't do the full research. I assumed X would have the least number of cards starting with its letter. I don't definitively know that. But I do know that we don't, X is a weird card to start with, but it's kind of cool that in, the many years that Magic has been, we've made a bunch of X cards. That is something you would think there wouldn't be that many of, but anyway, so now you all know all the cards starting with X in Magic. So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. I like doing card stories, and while I'm home, it's a lot easier to do card stories than it is in my car. So I've been trying to do more card design stories just where I have to go through the cards because it's a little easier to do it when I'm sitting at my desk. And I get, like today, I was cross-referencing stuff. I can't do that when I drive. But anyway, I can see my desk, so we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.